I was asked at the beginning of last year to speak at a European member care conference, and they wanted reflections on the life of Moses. And so for many months before that, I lived with Moses, journeyed with Moses, and tried to understand his heart. And I discovered in coming to this whole issue of calling that it is Moses is two-thirds of his way through his life and had almost given up on what he had sensed in his heart was his destiny. And this moment at the burning bush was where all that he had maybe dreamt and just left aside was coming to a point where this was back on track. And all that he had experienced had a purpose. And I realized how significant this whole issue of calling is. In Exodus 3, and that's where the reading is, we come to this point of a challenge that we need to revisit. A challenge which the world today is redefining. Many people today don't talk about their calling anymore. It's just not part of the vocabulary. I was very interested in a series on TV called The Young Pope. Not a very necessarily godly thing, but I was interested. Jude Law being the Pope, a 40-year-old American Pope, sort of intrigued me. And actually, there were some really significant things as you journey through that. But the one thing that struck me is every time the Pope met a cardinal, most of them in their 80s, he asked them, tell me about your calling. Tell me about your calling. I think there are many of us who, because of life circumstances, maybe you've got a mundane job. Maybe something went awry in the family. Maybe there are health issues. And you're feeling a little bit like Moses must have felt, delegated, relegated to the desert. And the dreams and passions that once quickened your heart just aren't there anymore. And you're just making it through life. And this whole sense of God has a dynamic purpose for my life is not there. And I'm hoping that as we look at Moses, we may revisit that reality that every Christian should live with. The hope to which we've been called, which is not just glory, but something significant even the side of the grave. Again, if we ask the folk coming to OM, you know, tell us about your calling, we would get very different answers. Some would say, this is something I've always wanted to do. It's been in my heart, and this is something I've always wanted to do. Others would say, as I walked with God along this journey, it was just the next thing God led me to do. Others would say, I felt called. There was a specific word from God, a verse, an opportunity, an event, where I felt God put his hand on me and said, you're the man, you're the woman. There are others who would say, well, the leaders and the elders of our church got together and prayed and suggested that this is what I should be doing. And they recognized God's hand and invited me, called me, encouraged me, sponsored me to get on with it. Many in Asia would say, my family advised me to do it. My parents recommended this for me. There are some, and it's probably a bit dangerous, who say, well, because it meets my need. I was looking for a place to grow. I was looking for a place of significance, and it meets my need. Sometimes God uses even that, though I do not necessarily believe it's the best reason for calling. Up on the screen, I've put a thesis there which I want to unpack, and that is that God's calling is what God has put into you, as well as what he calls you to be and to do. And our sense of calling comes when God calls us to become fully what he has prepared us to be and to do with our lives. It's not just some external thing of God calling me a signpost along the road. God's calling is all that he's invested in me from the beginning, and my personality, my history, my experiences, my gifting, is all part of what God has put in me in order to live a life fully committed to him, fully aligned with his purposes for what he wants to accomplish. And let's look at the life of Moses. Moses was prepared for God's mission. And sometimes we just miss that. He was fully prepared. We get the impression that sometimes a person becomes a Christian, they give their lives to the Lord, they go through a bit of discipleship, they come to a point of total commitment, and then they say, Lord, hereby, please use me. And then suddenly there's this council in heaven. Ooh, what shall we do with this one? That's not the case. God has had a purpose for that life from before the foundation of time. Fascinating. So it wasn't a matter of God. Moses was in the wilderness and drifting around. And God said, well, you know, what can we do with this character? God had a plan right from the beginning. And this is a fascinating thing, is Moses, just like you and I, was chosen before time. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, we said he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So even if your birth wasn't necessarily planned by your parents, it doesn't mean your life's an accident. God had you in mind before the foundation of the world. He breathed life into you and has a purpose for your life. That to me is a fascinating thing, that my life didn't start at conception. My life was in the mind and heart of God before time. Secondly, we're prepared in the womb. And this to me, as a young man who suffered as a teenager, I had incredible inferiority and struggled with who I was and what I could do and what I couldn't do. But to come to that point of realizing that God had shaped me to be the person I am. David said in Psalm 139, says this. He says, for you formed my inmost parts, verse 13. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. God had put his stamp on Moses before he was born. God put his stamp on you before you were born. And God shaped you to be the person you are. The abilities you have, the lack of abilities you have, the personality, the character. Yes, we've messed up along the way and changed some of, maybe it's not ideal, but this essence of who we are, our DNA, God put there because he had a plan and a purpose for our lives. It's interesting, in Acts chapter 7, another passage where you want to get insight into Moses' life is Stephen before the Sanhedrin using Moses as example. And he says, at that time, verse 20, Moses was born, he was beautiful in God's sight. Or the NIV, he was no ordinary child. Fascinating. See, here's this little kid being born, and immediately, folk looked at him and said, there's something special about this child. And you know, that's what God says about you and me as well. maybe your uncle didn't think you were the most beautiful baby, you know. But to God, you were beautiful in his sight. And your DNA was programmed with your future destiny in mind when God wove you together in your mother's womb. And we know how God protected Moses from being killed, as all Hebrew baby boys should have been killed. How, when being placed in the Nile, he was drawn out of the Nile. That's where his name came from, by Pharaoh's daughter. Pulled out, drawn out, saved for a purpose for which he was born. The other way in which he was prepared is he actually had Hebrew heritage and upbringing. You'll remember that Pharaoh's daughter asked Miriam, Miriam offered, Moses' sister offered to find a woman to nurse him, and he went and got his own mother, who nursed him until he was weaned, and in biblical age that was probably around 4, maybe even later. So he probably grew up to the Hebrew songs and lullabies. He probably grew up to the Hebrew scripture, the stories. He probably grew up to the story of Joseph, his ancestor, who also came to Egypt and delivered his people from suffering, who was God's man to save the nation. And these were things that were planted in his heart. He was a Hebrew by beginning. So God even shaped the first early years of his life by allowing him to grow up with his mother and his family, a Hebrew amongst the Hebrews. Then he had the training and the development of the Egyptian palace. And again, no accident. This wasn't just something that happened along the way. If you think about this, what does it actually mean to be raised as a prince? The Bible doesn't tell us very much about this at all. I think the Walt Disney movie tells us more in terms of just some of the reality of what that life might have been like. I assume he was trained as a diplomat. I assume he was trained as a military leader. You know, we hear that we have this bunch of slaves going out through the Promised Land, and suddenly we read of Joshua leading the army of Israel. Where did they learn to fight with a sword? Where did Joshua learn to be a general? I believe Moses taught him, because Moses would have been taught to be a military leader. Moses would have been taught military strategy. Moses would have been taught to use a sword as part of his education in the palace. He was raised to be a head of government. And as you look at it, just on a purely secular way, what perfect training and equipping for someone who's going to shape a nation out of a bunch of slaves. So God had prepared him, even there. Stephen, again, in his speech in Acts 7, says, Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty with words and deeds. So God had put his hand on Moses, and God had engineered his life for him, planned and navigated his way through life, perfect for the role that God ultimately would call him for. And then this last part, where we know the account how Moses, again, it's interesting, Moses in his heart had sensed this passion for his people. He had, the injustice of what was happening to the Hebrews overcame him, and he took action. And Stephen tells us he thought that the people would recognize that he was sent there to be their deliverer. So he already had the sense of calling deep within that led him to that stupid act of killing that led to him being kicked out of Egypt, him fleeing for his life to Midian. But again, it was no accident that he was led into Midian, where he took years out to just be a shepherd. And as a shepherd, he lost all the confidence that was self-confidence. So when God now calls him and says, I want you to go, he says, not me, send somebody else. I really cannot speak, which is a lie, because he was an orator, he was a diplomat, he was mighty in action and in words, says Stephen. And just a little way down the road, we suddenly see him writing songs, giving speeches, shaping a nation with his words. But that's how he felt. And he went through this whole thing of a complete lack of confidence. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you are there. Where you begin to question all that you've been through. What was the value of that? Where you begin to wonder, you know, I used to be good at this, but now the world has changed, and I don't know if I'm really any good at it anymore. And the things you would have just step up and speak up and whatever you would do, you no longer do. You just hang back. And a little bit like a shepherd in the wilderness, you feel that you're there as well. There is the danger that, and it's usually the danger of youth, of I have this passion, I have this sense in my heart, and I'm just going to grab it. And we grab it prematurely, and we get burnt by it, hurt by it, rather than it being in God's time. There's some fascinating pictures in Scripture of so often we think when we're ready, we should just get into action. There's this beautiful little verse in Isaiah 49, 1 and 2, where it says, He made my mouth like a polished sword. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword, and he made me into a polished arrow. Now, as you know God and you know the need in the world, what is immediately the thing you think? If somebody is now prepared, like a sharpened sword, what are you going to do with that? Well, immediately go into warfare and get on with the job. The moment the arrow is polished and ready to use, what are we going to do? Use it. But in Isaiah it says, He made my mouth like a sharpened sword, then hid me in his hand. He made me like a polished arrow, then placed me in his quiver. And there's this time of life, and I think in everyone's life who God has really used, where it's like a desert, a time of brooding, a time of maturing. We might be ready in terms of competency, but we're not yet ready in terms of character or waiting on God. And if we step out prematurely, the burden and responsibility of the ministry God gives us will break us and hurt us. And we're not yet ready. But God has not given up on us. That might be how it feels. God has not left us forgotten in the desert. That might be how it feels. But God is still at work for the right time when he wants you to step into the limelight once again, ready to be the person he's made you to be. To pick up the responsibility he shaped you in the womb to pick up. God's way and God's time, that's what's critical. Not just that we're ready for it, but that it is his time and we do it in his way. And this is where what took place at the burning bush. That's not where the calling of God on Moses' life began. And it's not in some supernatural event in your life or some meeting where you respond that all of it comes together. Your life has already been in God's hands. Your life has already been in his preparation. From before creation, God's hand on your life, formed in the womb, the experiences you've had, the school you've been through, not just academic, but the school of life. And even some of those wilderness times which didn't make sense, don't make sense, have been shaping you to be the person God wants to use. But we need to go back to this bush where there's an encounter with God. We read here that the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and God called him to become what God had prepared him to be and to do. And so calling is not we get out there and now we start, there's no map and we start doing stuff we don't have the experience or gifting to do. God knows our history, and he sets us forward to take hold of what he wants to do. The angel of the Lord, and if you look in the scripture, it's capital L-O-R-D, which is the name for God. So this was not an angel, this was God himself speaking to Moses. God himself calling Moses. And that's why Moses, when he realized it was God, he was afraid to look, because no one should look on God. And God himself wants to get our attention. God himself has a plan for our life. It's not as though he sends some delegation, somebody else. Sometimes he might speak to us through somebody else, but God himself is interested in your life. God himself is interested in what he wants to accomplish through your life. It's not some down the pecking order, but it's the King of Kings himself addresses us and calls him by name, Moses, Moses. And it's very significant that God knows Moses. It's not as though suddenly Moses came up on the agenda and now he sort of does his homework and sorts it out. God knows Moses. God knows you. You might feel you've been forgotten by people, you've been forgotten by the organization, or you've been forgotten by whoever, but you're not forgotten by God. He knows you through and through. He knows you by name. And in the Hebrew, that means he knows you through and through, your every aspect of you. But part of the key is Moses was willing to respond, even at this point, to say, here I am. Reluctant when he was given the task, but he at least responded, and he says, here I am. And it's also possible that because we feel a little adrift in life, it's also possible that we're not saying to God, here I am. It's almost like we feel I'm forgotten, and so there's no point. And I'll just go through life and observe. I'll sit in the grandstands and see what others are doing. But we need to come regularly to God, saying, God, here I am. What do you want to do with me today? God, here I am. What do you want to do with the opportunities of this week? What do you want to do with this life? Continually, fresh, submission to Him for His purposes and what He wants to accomplish. Where I can begin to see the hand of God in the circumstances of my week. Where I can begin to hear the voice of God, the leading of God, through the voices, through the readings, through whatever it is in my week. Whereas if I'm not anticipating that, I might not hear Him. I might not see and recognize Him at work. Here I am. And then a fascinating thing, God says to Moses, Moses, the ground you're standing on is holy ground. Take off your sandals. This is holy ground. And we go through this weird, you know, we use these words like holy. What on earth does that mean? It's when we come to church, we talk about holy being, well, you don't do this and you don't do that and you don't do this and you don't do that. That's not what holy means. And I've used this illustration in this church before, but there's something in my home that is holy to me. That's my toothbrush. It is set apart for my use only. It's not for anybody else to use. It's set apart for my use only. And that's what it means to be holy, to be set apart for God's use. And God is saying, Moses, this space where we are now, not just physically, this is a holy space because you have been chosen to be set apart for my purposes. Your life is not for the Midianites. Your life is not for the sheep. Your life is not even for the Israelites. Your life is for me, set apart. And then that determines your behavior because you're set apart for God, for His purposes, His pleasure, His honor. But to be holy means I'm living for Him and for His purposes. Before this point, Moses was really on the receiving end of all that God was doing. He was receiving the equipment of God, receiving the input of his mother, receiving the training in the palace, receiving all these things. He was, in a sense, the subject of God's disciplining and training in the wilderness. Until this part, Moses was not really a player. He was not really part of the divine plan, actively. And that's often what we look at as calling, is that it's at that time where I recognize I'm not just here to receive from God. I'm not just here to observe what God is doing. I'm not just here to learn for me. I'm here to participate in the glorious plans of God for others' lives, for my family, for whatever it might be that God calls me to get involved in. But I am a player. I'm an active participant in the plans and purposes of God. And we become obedient and submitted to His love and His plan for our lives. I am your God, God says to Moses. I am the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am your God. There's a personal acceptance that you're living for me because I am your God. And then God also went on to show him his heart, where he says, I've seen the misery of my people, Egypt. I've heard them crying out. The cries have reached me. And Moses begins to realize that the injustice he felt in his heart, the passion for the people he felt in his heart, the need he saw through his eyes, actually was birthed there because of the heart of God. And it wasn't just Moses, the Hebrew, getting concerned about his people. It was on the heart of God before it was ever on the heart of Moses. And in this moment of accepting God's calling for our lives, we recognize that even some of the deep passions, desires, longings have been birthed there by God, because of the plan and the purpose he has for our lives. So don't ignore them. Don't just write them off and have this blank piece of paper and say, God, tell me what's on your heart for me. He's already put it in your heart. Rather, listen to what are those things that God has stirred up in the past. Those things that have broken your heart, that have caused you to cry, that have put you on your knees, and that you've come before God to appeal for and cry for and shout for. Those are there, that God, things that God has put on your heart, because they're from His heart, and that's what He wants to use to motivate you. Now, He says, I'm sending you. Now is the time. And God brings together His history, His identity, His gifting, His experience, and blends it into His destiny. And that should be true for every one of us. That all of these parts of our life are not just, it happened then, and it's going to be a chapter in my life, and that's forgotten, that was nice for the time. But God wants to blend together your history, your identity, your gifting, your experience, and weave it together into your destiny of how He wants to use you in a unique way to touch other people's lives and to bring about His will and His purposes on earth. Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship, His masterpiece, created, recreated in Christ for good works which He has prepared in advance for us to do. It's not a matter of God's got to find something for you to do. He's already created you for the plan and purpose He has for your life. And it's a matter of discovering what He's prepared already in advance for you to do. And to have that anticipation that God has prepared the heart of this person He wants me to speak to this week. God has prepared the way forward for this role that He wants me to take on. God has prepared the way for the things that He's going to ask me to do. So, some conclusions from the reflection on Moses. I believe, like Moses, every one of us, every believer, has been set apart for God's purposes. And that's you and me as well, not just Moses. God has not put you aside and using other people. God has a plan and a purpose for you. And there's some people that only you will be able to help. There's some situations that only you will be able to address, because of God's purpose for your life. Every believer has been set apart for His purposes. Secondly, and this might seem a little unrelated, but you cannot take out what God has not put in. There are some folk who want to do things that God has never designed them to do. And I've come across a number of really gifted people who want to be a leader. But that's not what God has asked them to be. That's not what God has equipped them to be. He's called them to an evangelist, to be an evangelist. He's called them to do a magnificent work in other ways. So don't try and achieve some ambition that is not yours. Rather, what is it God's put in my heart? What is it that God's put in my being that is going to be fulfilled in what I do for Him? Don't try and take out what God has not put in. He has prepared us for everything He might ask us to do. And then the third thing, as we see with Moses, if you step ahead of God's timing, it could go wrong. If you take on something that is not His ambition for you, it could go wrong. Ecclesiastes 8 says, for everything under the sun, there's a proper time and a proper process. And let's align ourselves to be willing to say, God, in Your time, in Your way, help me to find out what it is You want me to do for You. And be willing to wait for it. We got some amazing ministries in OM, and one of them is an arts ministry in Turkey. And the guy who headed this up, Dave Wilson, we were just celebrating just how they have the puppets on the streets telling the gospel, because no puppet is going to be put in jail, interestingly enough. And the people will accept from a puppet what they won't accept from a human being. So we asked him, Dave, how long has this vision been on your heart? When did you first want to do this? He said, 20 years ago. It's taken 20 years before this passion, this vision he had, came to be. So don't be in a hurry. Moses was 80 when he started his journey of usefulness. So God's not wasting time, but proper time, His procedure. And then the fourth thing is, as I've said before, recognize this fact that God calls you in a way that will bring together all that you've been through, your history, your identity, your gifting, your experience, and your destiny to fulfill His purpose for His glory, and in which you will also be ultimately fulfilled, doing what He's prepared you for and called you to be. I do hope that this may encourage you to just say, God, thank you. You've put your hand on me. I want to be the person you've called me to be. And I want to be useful to you in the ways that you've equipped me to be. I've been set aside wholly. I want to find that space to be your person in your time, in your way, for your glory. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the account of Moses, and yet we could trace the same process through Joseph, through Daniel, through so many heroes of the faith, through Paul, and even since then through the lives of many people we now look up to as Christian examples. I pray for my brothers and sisters and for myself that along the journey we would be constantly willing to stand before you and say, here am I, and to allow you to take all that you've invested in us, and that we'd be willing to be and to do what you've set us apart to be and to do for your glory. Amen.